This is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. This is the Aleem Show with Talkative Aleem here. On today's agenda, we're going to be talking about Josh Yount and how Well Razor Radio interviewed him, and his full story is aired on Well Razor Radio. So 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 46 seconds. Please have a listen. Josh Yount has got some important, great messages to share. And then I'll go ahead and I will speak about how we can be more kind to one another. So once again, this is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. This is the Aleem Show with Talkative Aleem here.
Welcome to Well Razor Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Tobin. This is, as always, the Shanicus Maximus Scala, as well as the Simons.
Thanks.
Yeah. At the end.
The whisper.
Breathy.
Breathy. Breathy.
Today's guest is the doorman, Josh Yount. You've probably seen here, very likely, one of the 6 billion people who viewed his amazing YouTube video. He was just a kid that lost his father and was bullied, and he just wanted to be a normal kid, so he started kind of doing something simple, which was holding doors for individuals in the school. And this is his super emotional story. And you know what? I even get pretty emotional for the first time, I would say. A little bit clunked. A little bit clunked, yes. Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited for you guys to check it out. This episode of Well Razor Radio starts right now. Hey, Josh, welcome to the show. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
No worries. Thank you.
So, doorman, huh? That's a pretty interesting nickname, but also very fitting. So, your story kind of starts with a pretty sad beginning, right? I mean, do you mind kind of jumping into that a little bit? I mean, with the death of your father and some of that?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, for years before that, I had a rough life. My father was an alcoholic for most of my life.
Oh, wow.
And in 2006, my parents went apart due to my dad being an alcoholic, and that's when things really got tough. I moved to a new area, and at this new place, I was bullied at school the very first day and every day since. And I was dealing with my parents' separation, and also I was diagnosed of an illness as well, so I was all juggling all that around and going to school at the same time.
Wow. Oh, what age were you at this time? I mean, sounds like
this
the one.
At this time, I was 12 years old.
Jeez. Oh, my God. That's actually the age of my daughter now. I can't imagine her having to deal with all of those things and feeling alone.
Right. You know, that's... Yeah, I was 12 when my parents split, and, you know, I don't know that I've ever really talked about this publicly. But my dad was an alcoholic as well, and I mean, it was rough, man. So I can definitely identify with that. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
When you moved to the new school, that was, I assume, because your parents split, you and your mom kind of went to a new area?
Yeah. And at this new school, since I was being bullied, left out, and disrespected so much, at that point, I knew nothing would change. I knew I had to change somehow, because I knew I had to be happy. So I started just working out, listening to music, doing whatever I could to try to get through the pain. But even that didn't help at all.
Wow. And so you're pretty proactive, at least initially, with it. I mean, that says a lot for being 12 and like still taking action toward change.
Yeah. And then after a year, I got pretty big from working out, just push-ups and all that stuff. It stopped a little bit, but the bullying still continued.
Even at the new school?
Yeah, this is the public school, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so was it, like, physical, verbal, both, as far as the bullying abuse?
Yeah, it was mainly verbal.
Ah.
Yeah, and, like, half the bullies, believe it or not...
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that at all. Honestly, not that you know, they obviously come in all shapes and sizes and
sure.
genders, but I guess that wasn't my kind of initial mindset.
I think for sure when people think about bullies of any kind, it's always that stereotypical jock, the big guy pushing somebody around physically.
Resembles a guy like you.
I just kidding. But really.
When I watched your video, when Josh sent me a link to your video on YouTube, I watched it, and at my other job, I almost started crying because I instantly started thinking, and maybe it wouldn't have had as big of an impact on me if I didn't have kids.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through bullying. I've transitioned from one high school to another, and we can talk about that a little bit later, but watching your video, and whoever did the cinematography for it did a wonderful job because he or she really captured your isolation that you felt. And it made me think of my kids, and I wanted to say thank you for making this change that you've made and the positive influence that you had on other kids, because if and when my kids get bullied, and they will, there's going to be bullying of some kind.
Yeah.
I really hope that there's somebody that they can look at or look to say, you know what? I can just sit here, and every day is going to be the exact same way.
Yeah.
Every day. If I don't make this change, no one's going to make this change for me. Nobody can save me from this. I have to make a change. So what was it? What happened? What finally clicked for you that made you say, I'm going to make a change, and this change is going to be kind of an unexpected thing. I'm going to start opening doors for people and greeting them.
I'll start something changed in my mind, and then I'll tell you how I started to make that change. In grade 9, it's all the bad things people said to me. It went through my head. I literally felt like giving up. But then something struck in my head. I could give up, or I could keep going. And then also, didn't want to put my family through the pain. I didn't want them to put them through all that stuff. And if I ended my life, so I knew I couldn't do that. I had to keep going. And after my father passed away, and after moving to Clark Road Secondary School in London, Ontario, I knew this was a new opportunity, a new place, a new beginning, and I could start fresh. And I was a shy kid all my life. I was always left out, and I wanted to be more. I wanted to help people. And holding a door open, it may not seem like much to some people, but to me, it helped me face that fear, and it helped me be more, and also give back to others and make them feel special, even if I didn't feel the same way about myself.
And Josh, what I thought of when I heard about the idea of the doormat was, if you think of like the fundamental proper way to be around other people is to hold the door open for something. Or to get a door for a lady if you're going on a date. It's like this like fundamental, like old
gentleman,
school, gentlemanly kind of way of doing something. So when I heard that and I heard about what you were doing, it kind of seemed like you were getting back down to the basics, to the root of how to treat people. Is that kind of, is that kind of along the lines of what you were thinking of when you started talking about it? Or was it just something that was very simple for you to do at that moment to kind of initiate that change?
Yeah, that's very, very hard to do at first. Very past school, whereas bullied at the high school, I pulled doors and just walked around and talked to people just because I felt like I didn't belong. I felt very lost, and I didn't feel like I had a purpose. And I was trying to face the fear, but with all I was going through, it didn't help. But moving to Clark Road, I just took that jump, and I could have stopped holding the door open after the first day, but I knew how to keep going because I kept going. I give people hope, and I show them that I'm not giving up, and that it's a real thing. I'm the real deal.
Right.
You know, it's amazing to think that, like, I mean, that's especially from a young kid who's already struggling. You're now putting yourself out there. I mean, I talk a lot about being vulnerable. And when you say, oh, you know, I held the door for somebody, a lot of people shake that off, like, it's no big deal, man. For you, in that instance, it sounds like it was almost an insurmountable thing. You're putting yourself essentially in harm's way, right? Like, you're there holding doors for potentially students that are going to harass you or call you names or, you know, physically abuse you or whatever. So, I mean, that's a pretty huge thing. Did you feel in that first day, like, kind of out on a ledge doing it, just alone, isolated,
yeah,
even though you were taking that step forward?
Yeah, that's my mom walked me in that one first day at Clark Road. I was shaking. I didn't know what to do. She left me in the hallway. And I knew I had one choice, and this is my opportunity. And the first 3 weeks were very, very odd. People were looking at me, what's this guy doing here? What's his deal? They give me the weird look. It's very weird for someone to hold doors for like 10, 20 minutes at a time.
Right.
And people think, oh, maybe he's trying to get something out of me. But I just do it. I just did that. And I did other things as well. Cool. And I just don't expect anything back. I just want to help make other people happy and give them a better day.
I think that it's pretty, I mean, it's inspirational thing that you took that step forward to kind of change things for yourself, because you were the one in control that could do that. Is there anything that you feel like the administration in your school or your mom could have done that would have kind of helped you out? And the reason I'm asking that is that I've dealt with some bullying my whole life, pretty much, in school.
Yeah.
I've dealt recently with bullying with my son, with my lady's son. They both have dealt with bullying recently. And it was hard for me to kind of find that balance as a dad of being like, hey, I'm going to support you. I'm going to talk to the administrators. I'm going to take care of these things. But then also, what can you do? So I was trying to play like both these roles and try to be the supportive, you know, parent. But is there anything in particular, back to my initial question, sorry, do you feel like there was anything else somebody could have done for you that could have taken the edge off of things for you or helped you out to kind of handle this bullying? Because it's not really something that a kid should have to deal with when he's going to school to get an education.
During this time, so from grade 7 to grade 11, I didn't really know what to do. My mom didn't know, talking to the principal, if it would make things worse, if rumors would go around and I'd be bullied even more. And also, what some people don't know, I struggled in school with math and English. I needed extra help.
Sure.
And the teachers would hover over top of me, and I was put into classes with other people with disabilities. So I felt very judged, and I didn't feel like they gave me the chance to prove my self-worth. And every day get your planner out, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And I guess didn't feel I could trust them because I felt they were treating me less than what I'm worth.
So in that case, even the administration almost kind of alienated you a little bit, it sounds like, to kind of accepting their help. Am I gathering that right?
Yeah.
No, that's a really hard line or rope to walk. As a parent, as a teacher, I mean, as I said before, my daughter is 12 years old this year, and for the last few years, she has had special training, special extra time in school for learning disabilities, and it sounds like it's close to the exact same type of environment that maybe you went through. And she has verbalized, you know, when this teacher comes and gets me at this time, all the other students are doing this. And I get yanked out of class to do my special time and study, and I feel alienated. I feel ostracized. I feel not a part of the group. And as a parent, that killed me to hear this. And it's almost a lose-lose situation. I want to create any type of environment that would help my daughter not feel alienated. Not feel stupid. But in so doing, I was actually making her feel like she's not like anybody else.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was putting her in the exact situation that you were putting.
Okay.
What were you going to add? I think that, did you have something you wanted to toss in?
Yeah, it's just because, like, I had depression at first, too. So by feeling alienated and by being treated less and not, because there came a point where I didn't want anyone to feel sorry for me. I wanted people to treat me like everyone else around me. I didn't want them to treat me any less.
Right.
And they're treating me less, and I just couldn't take it, and the depression got worse and worse. So I told my mom about what was going on, and she didn't know what to do, so I just kind of took matters in my own hands, and I spent a lot of time alone trying to think positive and achieve the confidence. But holding doors at Clark Road, that really sparked a new life for me.
I love the idea that you took matters into your own hands.
Right.
I was telling a friend of mine, I should tell these friends of mine today, that it's my only friends. I was telling these guys today that, you know, the school district that I work for has a program called Obey Us. And it was started by this gentleman named Dr. Dan Obey Us, and it was about the school district that he was working in Norway had three suicides in a very small amount of time. And he realized that bullying was the main factor. And so his main thing now is really to focus on making sure that peer relationships in school and the environment in school is positive. And a big thing that they do is, and I've seen this from kindergarten at least to eighth grade, where at a certain time each day they get in a circle, they sit down together, and they do highs and lows so that kids can realize that everybody's on the same playing field. Whether I'm a wealthy kid or I'm a poor kid, my parents were separated for divorce, or my dog died this weekend, that happens, you know, something like that happens a lot, but not unfortunately. The things happen to everybody. We're all on the same playing field. Everything is better. Do you feel like those kind of programs, if you feel like kids, if they had understood you better, and whether it's the extra support you needed for school, or being the new kid in the school, which I was on a regular basis, named Simon, walking to a new school on almost a yearly basis,
okay,
was torturous for me. And so, at some point you have to get past it and realize that we're all kind of the same. And this Obey Us system kind of helps kids understand that kind of idea of thinking about things. Do you think that would have helped you in school? Kind of, I mean, high school is a whole different beast as far as I'm concerned. Middle school was the worst time of my life for me, but high school is a whole different thing. Do you think that helping kids understand that we're all kind of the same, that we're not so different, do you think that would have probably benefited quite a bit when you were in high school?
I'm not sure if we had that. The support and the different programs that the big cities had at that time, I don't know if it would really help, because I was going through so much. I really needed a lot of time to myself, just because I was going through so much. I didn't know what to do with my life. But
So you need somebody there just to be understanding.
Yeah.
Well, that, and it seems like one of the things that you keep talking about and bringing up is you needed time. You just needed time for yourself. And as a kid, during the school season, especially my kids, and I assume my kids are like anybody else's kids, there is no time for yourself. If your kids are in sports, if you know, during school, you're constantly surrounded by other kids. You get done with school, you're in sports, you get done with sports, you go home, you got your parents on top of you helping you do your homework. You're never alone.
Yeah.
So how could we possibly find that time? Because it could be as easy as that. You said you needed time. How could we give time to our kids? Because in today's day and age, it's rush, rush, rush. And we could be doing more harm than good, because we're packing our kids' schedules with everything.
But it sounds like, too, you decide to take the time, regardless of what was available, right? So did you just isolate yourself? Like, what I did, like, when I was struggling, because, man, in school, I grew up in a small town, and I didn't fit in. I mean, I was kind of this preppy kid, but I was into, like, heavy metal and punk rock music and, like, this weird paradox that I still am as an adult. And my way of kind of coping was escaping, because I was judged. You know, I was a weird covert kid. I do quotes a lot, don't I?
You do.
I was a weird covert kid in that school and in that town. So I my way of kind of getting away from it was retreating to my room and trying to process what the heck this means. It sounds like you were kind of dealing with the same, right? I mean, I'm right there with you, man.
Since I have, like, also have a illness, a thyroid condition, I couldn't really play a lot of sports because I start the day at school, and by the end of the day, I'd pass out, and I'd be finished for the day. I play basketball in my free time and listen to music, but yeah, I isolate myself and spend a lot of my time to myself because the bullies were just always on me every single day. And I didn't feel comfortable joining teams or hanging out with friends a lot because I felt like being alone was better than being with other people that were going to hurt me. And I just didn't feel, I didn't even know what a real friend was.
Wow.
I still don't.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, man. I mean, no joke, we're right here for you, buddy. If you need anything, you let us know. The Well-Raiser Society, Well-Raiser Radio is developed for that, for people who feel alone, to make them understand that there are people there to support them, to back them, to encourage them to do great things. And for you at that age to be isolated, to be processing all of this craziness that's going on around you, and then to say, you know what, I'm going to take friggin' action. Adults suck at that. The number of adults that come to me still and say, how do I do this? What do I do to get on track? And you were doing that at 12. That is monstrous. And you took this one thing that a lot of people take for granted every single day and used it to empower yourself, to change your life, to change a community, to change 6 million people's lives who watched your story. That is massive.
I was just going to say, if in the very least, your story, just having it out there for people to hear and understand and have empathy about and have compassion about, that's 6 million people that didn't have that revelation before that necessarily, or might take that, if you can find one person in that 6 million that took that opportunity to change something in their school or change something in their life, that's a pretty tremendous thing as well.
It really is. And what comes, I really, after holding doors and being recognized for it, I realized that it doesn't take much to make a difference in anyone's life. It can be holding a door or even saying hello to someone to show that they matter and that you see them.
Yes, I agree 1,000%. It, you know, honestly, the reason that I was like, we gotta have, you know, Josh on the show, honestly comes down to the fact that a lot of people think that it takes such a big effort to change people, to change lives, to change communities, when really it doesn't. It takes really minor efforts, a lot of times maybe, or for 20 minutes at a time, but it takes little things to make big things happen. And you're absolute proof of that. That's why I was like, you want to talk about a freaking Well-Raiser, this dude is doing it. He did it. He proved that it's absolutely possible. When you were isolated in your, you know, room or garage, where the heck you were, when did it come? Do you remember the moment when you're like, you know what, when I get to the school, I'm going to hold doors. That's going to be my thing. Did you consciously decide that?
At my old school before Clark Road Secondary School, I would spend a lot of my time to myself. I felt really suicidal. I felt like no one cared about me because people wouldn't really talk to me. If people invited me to sit with them, I didn't really feel this is my place to be. And so I spent a lot of my time alone. I had some friends, but they used me for my stuff just because I'm so nice. And I didn't really know why I was here. What's my purpose? I felt like giving up. But when I see people walking through the doors, I felt like I had to be there for them. Even if I wasn't really, no one was really there for myself. And I knew I always help people throughout my life. I'd share my things. And after moving to Clark for secondary school in London, Ontario, that was my time to gain the strength and confidence that I never really had all my life.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. I'm going to try my best to not get emotional. But I get it. I mean, I know what it's like to feel like nobody sees you and feel invisible, even in your own home. Like, I get it, man. And to know that, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old kid, tons of them all over the world are feeling that way right now, and to know that you were able to, you know, stand there and watch possibly hundreds or thousands, I don't know how big your school was, of kids walk through that door, and you kind of stated, like, I'm here, I'm holding the door, I got your back, you know, just being present for them, saying, I see you. Now, that's kind of been a theme today with our couple of interviews that we had.
Yeah.
You know, just being there, even though nobody else was for you, man, that's...
Yes, that's exactly why I held doors, because I felt like I had no purpose, and I felt like I could give it all back to other people, even if I got nothing in return.
One, you gave yourself purpose.
Yeah.
That's the idea behind it, is you, if nobody was going to give you a purpose, you were going to give yourself.
Yeah.
And in giving yourself that purpose, you also give yourself back to them. I mean, that's the idea behind it, is that when you start giving yourself purpose, it's much easier to delve into that reserve that you have to give up yourself.
Yeah,
and I think that's a big thing for, like you said, a young kid to jump into and say, you know what, I feel like I'm struggling with who I am, but I'm going to find this one thing that kind of gives me a little bit, and then that, in turn, really gives back people around me. That's a pretty big impression.
It is. And yeah, at Clark Road, the funny thing is, I never told my mom what I was doing. I thought it was just a normal thing, a kind thing, to just pull doors for people and give back. And my sister goes to high school to visit before she goes to high school in grade 9. And she tells my mom, "Did you know Josh holds doors? He's called the doorman." Yeah, so it's just really funny. I'd be walking on the spare through a parking lot. This lady dropped her groceries. So I just rushed over and put them in her car, and off I went. So just stuff like that. I need a way to help.
Right on.
You know, Josh, when I was when I was 17, going to a new school, it sounds like in your stories, going to a new school was a rebirth of some kind. When I was 17, the stars aligned, and two important events happened to me. I wrestled well at districts here in Iowa.
Oh, wow.
And some coaches from a different high school watched me wrestle. And I had a really, in my mind, large interaction with a very dangerous teenager. And in the mind of my mom, also. And there was a little bit of fear. There was this opportunity, one, that this coach wanted me to come wrestle for him at this high school, and also my mom thinking, well, Shane, you just had this pretty serious altercation with this guy. There has been some threats against you. I think it would probably just be better to go to this other high school. So it all worked out. But that opportunity, a lot like yours, was a time for me to decide, who do I want to be? All these people that I had grown up with had seen every flaw, had seen every stupid mistake, had heard every incredibly idiotic remark out of my mouth. But when I was able to transition, go to this other high school, I remade myself.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have to be who everybody thought I was back then. I could say, who do I want to be? How do I want to carry myself? How do I want other people to look at me? And it sounds like that's what you did. You took that opportunity as a fresh start to reinvent yourself a little bit, to put yourself out there, put yourself forward, to be seen, to be vulnerable, because you're holding the door, people see you. You can't hide. You can't move through that space. You talk about moving through an empty space. But when you made that change, when you transitioned to that new school, you reinvented yourself.
Well, also, if I may add, like, you know how people tell you, changing is a bad thing. I always kept telling myself, you can change, but only one way. You can change for the best.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know what, it's interesting, because earlier you mentioned you were suicidal, you were kind of at the bottom, and, you know, you can choose to go that route, or you can choose to keep going and be better. For me, when I hit bottom, my thoughts were, you know, people said all this crap, and I believed them, and I felt worthless and disgusting and ugly and all these things.
Yeah.
And I isolated, and I did everything very similar to what you did. And when I hit bottom, I said, you know what? What happens if I don't believe anymore? And I start believing in the guy I look at every day in the mirror. What happens then? And I didn't have that answer. So I decided, you know, they're going to make fun of me when I'm at my worst. They're probably going to make fun of me when I'm at my best, too. I'm not going to stop them talking.
Yeah.
But what I can do is start giving back and doing great things and doing the things I wanted to do. Because I could choose my happiness, and I took action on it. Sounds like you did the same. Which brings me to my next point. Not only did you change yourself with this simple act, you changed others around you. Did you start to notice that change? Was it something gradual, or was it like an overnight thing? How was that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, at Clark Roads, in about a month, the folding doors opened. There'd be other people rushing to pick up books after one another. There'd be girls and guys holding doors when I'm not there. And it was just remarkable. Everyone just respected me as well. It was just a great atmosphere. Every single day, just talking to people and hearing them talk back to me, it made me feel special. And every time I went home at night, I knew what I was going to do the next day and the day after that. I just loved doing it. I loved helping people, and they gave back to me. There'd be some guys walking around with popcorn, and they gave me some.
Right.
So I felt like things were going just wonderful, and it continued to grow.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think a lot of people, you know, our world is very much like me-focused, you know, everything's I this, I that, whatever. And when we start focusing outward like you did, you know, it's like, yeah, you were struggling, but then you gave. And the more that you gave, the more you got back. And I think that's what's really amazing and something that's often kind of overlooked is that, you know, if we take the focus off ourselves a lot of the time, we hand out smiles, we hold doors, we pick up groceries, like you said, you know, we give a hand to other people, not only are we picking them up, but in turn, we're kind of picking ourselves up along the way as well.
I say, and let's be honest by saying that when you give, you are getting something back.
Totally.
I mean, I'm not a very religious guy by any stretch, but I love Christmas. Because I just love the opportunity to, like, just, like, I know somebody who likes something, and I'm like, this knucklehead across from me, he hates sharks, right? And so what I do is I find shark stuff, and I find, like, hey, one year he got a deck of shark cards that were 3D, and there were sharks coming out of water eating people and stuff like that. One year he got a coffee cup. At the bottom of the cup was a shark's head coming out. I mean, and so, but it was
he gave me that coffee cup. with coffee in it.
Nice.
So as I'm drinking it, sure.
That slowly emerges.
Yeah.
So I mean, we get something back for that. I mean, that giving thing. I mean, I know I'm not trying to portray you. You're not selfish by any stretch, Josh. I'm just trying to say that it is a caring thing that we do for ourselves when we give to other people.
It's
every time we, it's fulfilling.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Really good word.
Seeing people smile and seeing them happy is the greatest gift of all.
There you go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nailed
absolutely.
It.
All right, Josh, I'm going to throw, I'm going to be possibly, I don't want to be negative.
He's kind of a hater.
Okay.
You know, he's kind of a hater.
I say this with all due respect, all right? Now, I totally agree that the horrible level of bullying that some kids go through is completely unacceptable. Okay?
Yeah.
But don't you feel like you wouldn't be where you're at today? You wouldn't have had this experience, this life-changing, altering experience if that level of bullying didn't happen to you. Like, I'm not trying to say bullying is a good thing. But you know, the old saying of steel sharpens steel. You know, you went through an experience, and if it wasn't for that experience, you wouldn't be who you are. Really.
Yes, I totally agree. Without that experience, and without going through all that pain and suffering, I would not be where I am today, and I would definitely not be who I am today. So for that, I'm very thankful. And even if I wasn't recognized for what I did, the true thing is, I'd still be the same person because in all, I was doing what I loved, helping other people and giving them a great day. And I feel giving from the heart, that's all that really matters, is giving from the heart and not expecting anything in return.
Have you had any interaction since that time of going from the first school, have you had any interaction with those same people since this video came out, since you had so many views on YouTube?
At Clark Road Secondary School, that is. Yeah, since the video came out, it went viral. I have a lot of my friends on Facebook. And then there's also people all around the world, Australia, Thailand, the Philippines, Norway. I was just at Norway a month and a half ago.
You were in Norway?
Yeah, I met the Crown Prince of Norway and had a private
meeting. What? That's awesome. Come on!
And,
this is like the best!
And I also had a private meeting with the Canadian ambassador of Norway in the building, what do you call it?
Like the embassy?
Embassy, yeah.
What? And you didn't call me? Go along,
dude.
I'm a little hurt. You got three friends here that are ready to fly anywhere with you and experience awesome stuff. Where are we at?
I think possibly you misspoke earlier when you said you didn't have any friends back then and you don't have any friends now. Because
yeah.
It sounds like you are surrounded by people who love your message. Not only love your message, but they love who you are, who you've become. Because some people can be trampled on and bullied verbally, physically, and they become a shell of who they could have been. And you're one of those people who made that decision for yourself, not to have anybody else really help you out, but you made that decision to become a better person. And because of that, look at this attention that you're getting. It's phenomenal.
Unreal.
It is.
And for the record, I don't want friends. I don't want followers. But I didn't meet, like, Crown Prince of some random country, dude. You're killing it. That's amazing. What the heck?
Yeah, before Clark Road, I didn't feel like I had any friends because I was used and disrespected and everything. But at Clark Road, I felt like everyone was my friend. And because I was so respected, I just felt like I was special for once in my life. It was just an incredible feeling.
Heck yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're still a pretty special person, for sure. And what else are you doing right now? Are you
have a lot of these hits on the YouTube video and things like that. You're meeting these
people.
You know, what are you taking, how are you branching that out? How are you moving forward with this message that you have right now?
Right now, I work at the beer store part-time, and I also, I do public speaking. I've been public speaking for 3 years now.
Awesome.
2 years, just voluntarily, just as experience, but now I'm doing as a part-time job.
Sure.
And traveling the world.
Heck yes.
Start small. You gotta start small.
Yeah, you do.
Grassroots.
That's right.
Grassroots / meeting.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah. Princes. I mean, that's awesome, man.
It
so,
is. We're going to Iceland in the fall, as well as Maryland in the USA.
Wow. Amazing.
Iceland and Maryland. I'm not gonna say that those are equal. It's fantastic. Though I like Maryland quite a bit. I used to live nearby there. But Iceland, I heard, is phenomenal.
So,
that's pretty awesome.
But if you get to Iowa, you need to hook us up. You need to give us a call and let us know.
Yeah, we'd love
Iowa.
To have you in, in the studio.
Awesome. So, you know, you mentioned viral a bit ago about the video when that initially hit. What was, I mean, I know what my social media is like when I release a video that doesn't go viral. And it's like ping, 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 vibrate, vibrate, vibrate for like 3 hours. I can only imagine the days, the weeks, maybe months that went by where your phone was just blowing up because of Facebook messages, because of contacts from people. I mean, 6 million people saw this video. And that's just on YouTube. This has been shared a zillion other places. I know there's been, you know, newsreel stuff about you and various other things, you know, locally and abroad. I mean, like, mentally, what was that like at that moment? I mean, you felt good at school.
Yeah.
Six million people, good. What's that feel like?
It was incredible. And also, before the WestJet video, CBC, the national, they started it all. It's like a national news station in Canada.
Uh-huh.
One of the teachers was so impressed at Clark Road, he sent them a message on their website. They responded, wanted to meet me, and that's how this whole thing started. And then WestJet, they called me and told me they want to have me on their commercial because I'm a good candidate, and it's just amazing.
Wow. So,
but yeah, these messages. Remember the first time on CBC, the national, I'm on Facebook. Bing, 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 message after message on Facebook, friend requests. And even after the WestJet commercials, people going on flights and they're messaging me from India, like Australia, South America, everywhere in the world, is telling me how I changed their life. I gave them hope. I showed them that there's good people out there. And some have shared their experiences with me. And it's just, it's been such a blessing to have been recognized and for changing my life in such a way.
You changed that, dude. Like, babe. No, I'm thinking emotional again. No joke, that was you that changed it. Don't ever sell yourself short, because that decision you made to open that first door and be vulnerable for that first time, that was you, man. Don't ever sell yourself short. That's unbelievable. I mean, you're making that impact across the world.
Thanks so much.
You got it.
Josh, I wanted to ask you, what do you think would surprise your father the most about who you are today?
I think the most, like, my father would be really proud of that I'm not afraid of talking to people. Now I'm such a chatterbox, I talk to people on the I just put myself out there and give people my all. And I think he'd be very proud of that, and also that made a big change in my life, and I'm like one of the happiest I've ever been in my life.
And if you can talk to a kid, you know, a younger kid, your 8-year-old self, you know, if you're gonna try to lift up a kid who's struggling with the same kind of things, what do you think, kind of, you know, what can you say to them to kind of lift them up and make them, you know, things better for their lives? What would you say to them?
What I would say to, like, kids and teenagers, I try to give them hope that being different, because being different, bullies make me feel like that's a bad thing. I try to show kids when I speak to schools, I try to show them that being different is who you are. It makes you, it's what makes you special. And also, it's important to talk to people you love and people you can trust. But what's happening, even though it's very, very hard, and also trying to do what makes you happy in life, taking the time to listen to some music and taking yourself away from the negative and trying to focus on the positive. Because it's so easy to think about the negative, and the negative will just bring you down day by day. And it's so important to try to think positive, and being alone out, being alone, that's when it's easiest to try to think in such a way.
And so what inspires you now? What makes you, what keeps you going? What keeps you, you know, every day in and day out, you know, working at the beer store and talking to kids like that? What inspires you on a daily basis now?
What inspires me on a daily basis is just keeping busy and talking to people and hearing how they're doing. And just trying to keep your mind focused on the good. And although I have my tough days where I have negative thoughts and stuff, I just talk to people. I just want to hear how they're doing. And it just makes my day a lot better.
Sure. Sounds like it's still that kind of giving spirit that you had at the beginning, that, you know, the more you give, the more you get back, right? It's kind of that building of someone else to build you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I get you 110%. That's exactly what ultimately changed me long term, because, you know, I'm up, down, I still struggle, just like anybody else, I'm with you. But the second that I learned to give without expectation and to understand that the more that I give, you know, to kind of get all hippie about it, air quote, it, the more that I put out there in the universe, the more you kind of get back from it, right? And I give to, if I think, in terms of like percentages, you know, you're 1%. If I give to a million people and I get 1% back, that's pretty massive. If I give to 10 people and get 1% back, not as massive. So what am I going to go for? I'm going to give as much as I can, or reach as many people as I can. Not only because it feels good to give, but dang it, that 1% still feels freaking great. Am I right?
Yes, for sure. Oh, and yeah, holding doors, you get lots of negative people.
Really?
You get a lot of negative people, like people looking at you very weird, people who are gangster and think they're so cool and you aren't. But in all, I've come to realize that just focus on the people that treat you with respect. Those 99% of people, and just take away those 1%, and just think of all those people that just are there for you, that support you, and that's all that really matters in the end.
Agree. Also, for the record, kindness is gangster.
Yes.
Kindness is gangster.
It
that's
is.
What I'm saying. So, we're kind of coming to, this hour of it, we're winding. I know it's late there for you, so thank you for staying up with us for an hour. What we always do is kind of this fast five, right? And it's five questions I kind of fire off pretty quickly to you. And usually our guests fire the answers back pretty quickly as well.
Okay.
And they're kind of fun, you know, nothing too serious. And they kind of progressively get a little serious. But fast five, you ready for that?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Awesome. So first one, toque or stocking hat? What do you call it?
I have no idea.
In Canada, a toque is a stocking hat, correct? Toque? Am I wrong?
I don't really know.
You're totally wrong.
Oh, I am. I'm the uneducated one here.
So you would just say, hey, my head's cold, I gotta go get a stocking cap. Is that what you would say, Josh?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, so what would you say?
I guess that you're wrong, but that's okay.
All right, so this is gonna be the fast forward. So anyway, it still rhymes. If I had to be like fast three, I'd have to call it like the thrilling three or something. So, yeah. So the fast four in your case, because apparently
I'm not interested. A for effort.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna put A next to that, so I feel good about it. All right. So, if you had to choose another nickname other than the doorman, what would it be? Go.
I have a lot of nicknames. What about Big Guy?
Big Guy.
Big Guy.
Awesome. Right. BLT sandwich or grilled cheese?
I like both.
Oh, I'm with you, man.
Good.
I was with you. I didn't know
the name. No. Let's be clear about this.
We told you he was a hater in the beginning.
There's grilled cheeses, right? That's bread and cheese. You have BLT. That's bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Mayo.
And bread.
And bread.
So, I mean, you get more bang for your buck. Hey, fine.
All the BL.
Yeah, I'll just go with the BL. That's pretty awesome. So, going with the BL, that's a win for me. Like,
yeah.
Both is good, but see, he's a simple guy. He breaks it down to opening doors. He's like, he'll take both. The grilled cheese aren't good. But BL, still breaking it down.
Well, everyone loves bacon too, right?
So. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Unless you're vegan.
Unless you're vegan.
Yeah.
But vegan love, though, but all you vegans out there. One piece of advice you should give your 18-year-old self?
Don't give up. Just keep fighting. And fight back with kindness.
Heck yeah. Fight back with kindness.
Love that.
That may be the win, the quote of the week. Fight back with kindness. I like that.
Yeah.
Digging that.
I'm blanking with that. I'm actually about that.
That's totally what I'm going to ask you. All right, so last of the fast forward. Where can people find out what's up with you and what's next? And what is next, for that matter?
What is next?
Yeah, what's next for you? More speaking gigs? More what?
Yeah, a lot more speaking engagements. And I think also going to All Scandinavia next spring.
Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, you can find me all over the internet. Josh the Doorman. It's like 10 pages on Google. And you can find me on Twitter. I have a Facebook page and also a Doorman page on Facebook where I post all my events. And I also do very inspiring quotes. I try to put my words and my positivity on paper and try to inspire people to keep pushing through and keep making a big difference in their life.
Heck yeah, us Josh's, man. I think it's the name. It's the name and the good looks. That's what does it, buddy. I'm telling you. Well, anything else, gentlemen?
No, Josh, it was a tremendous honor. Thank you for being on and talking to us. And I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
Yeah, Josh, keep fighting the good fight, man. We appreciate what you're doing, and day in and day out. And we'll be thinking about you all the time.
Thanks so much, guys. It was a pleasure, and we'll be in touch, all right?
Yeah, honestly, man, you come to Iowa, I want to shake your hand. I'm not even joking. I want to see you.
Definitely.
Cool. And if you need anything, you reach out to us. We will kick ass right along with you. Keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. Take care, man. Thanks so much for spending the hour.
No worries. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Fantastic.
Wow, awesome. Yeah, that was super intense. Holy cow.
Well, I mean, it's tough when you can like viscerally feel the pain that he is.
He's still
kind of processing through that stuff. And maybe it takes a lifetime to get past some of those things. But along with that, I think the key is that he is moving past it. He is, even though he does feel that pain and is still working through it, he is taking the proactive way about him. You know, he's moving forward with that kindness. You know, he still feels that pain. He's taking that pain and he's going, but I'm not going to turn that around to somebody else. I'm going to turn it around and make it kinder.
So. Right. That we didn't talk about the fact that he won Homecoming King.
Ah, that's true. We didn't.
Right?
He did, yeah.
The relationship that he's like this caterpillar that turned into this butterfly. I mean, the transformation that he went through, the emotional transformation that he went through when he when that video came out, and that attention that he got and the kindness that he's shown, I don't know how he handled it. I mean, it's kind of like winning the Willy Wonka golden ticket, right?
It's pretty heavy.
Your life changes dramatically with that much attention.
Well, because, you go from a situation where I am ostracized, pretty much.
For sure.
Right. And then all of a sudden I'm being the prince of whatever country. And that's pretty drastic, kind of like, you must feel like you're in La La Land, kind of. I mean, I only have to assume it's like being like all of a sudden you do a great role in a movie or some BC actor, and all of a sudden you get lofted to these high accolades, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't even know where I'm at and what I'm doing. But it sounds to me, you're sitting in this bed, chilling out, talking to us. So I think that his perspective is pretty down to earth, and I think that's what's going to carry him forward.
Well, that move, we called him really late.
Good point. We didn't call him late.
Well, it's okay. You could be in your PJs.
That's true. And I would invite anybody.
In fact, yes.
Any of our future guests, if you want to be chilled in your bed.
Please be in your PJs.
And
wherever you want.
If that, in fact, is the case, inform us up front. We will accompany in our man footy pajamas.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, guys?
No shirtless.
Well,
we actually talked about that.
We will do a shirtless episode.
No,
I think so. I think if we do a shirtless episode, we will have to put like an asterisk or something near that, because that's either going to be the greatest episode the world has ever seen.
Can we put asterisks over them?
We may have to.
We may have to.
No one wants to see my third nipple. It's just uncomfortable. You expose that to people.
I've known you for over 20 years. You got a third nipple?
Yeah.
Hey, that's all right. You know, Mark Wahlberg's going down with an extra.
Oh, so that's right.
It's all good. Look, you just bless him a little more.
That's right.
Unless you're being a hater and being fun people.
No, I'm not.
All right, that's good. That's good, because we don't allow that. Oh, always with this. Always.
I'm sorry, Josh.
I
apologize.
We were doing good.
Yeah, we're almost there.
I was going to ask you, so you hit some emotional points for yourself.
I did.
Was that because you still felt that raw kind of feeling from him?
I could feel what he was putting off, yes. And I still can get there myself. Like, I mean, there are certain moments where, like, I'm going about my day, and, just like people talk about, like, their favorite songs, oh, man, I hear AC/DC is back in black. It's like I'm, at my high school prom, or I'm driving my freaking Thunderbird T-tops. It's like that moment. But there's also things that trigger the other moments too.
Right.
And his pain that he was handing us, you can see he's wiping tears, man.
Right.
It hits. I get it. I mean, I know what that's like. I mean, I lived it for a lot of years. And to know that he is still processing it in ways that I did for so long kills me. It eats me up, because I don't want him to feel. I don't want anybody to feel that.
Right. But it does give you some hope, though, because I mean, you can feel that raw pain and you can see it, and yet you see him moving forward. Maybe you see him talking about that.
He's on a good track.
He's on a good track. Yeah. He's making that progress. And who's to say that how people handle that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, my lady was asking me about my childhood, asking me about bullying and things like that. And I remember having an internal conversation of like, why are you talking to me about this? I don't want to talk about this. We're supposed to go have fun. Why are we discussing this?
Right.
And she's not trying to be mean. She's going, tell me about this. Tell me about that. And in my head, I'm going, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. And getting teary-eyed and upset. And she didn't even realize that she had just tapped into something that even I might have not really processed through yet.
Josh and I touched on this concept pretty briefly right before we did the first show, which is, what does it mean to deal?
Yeah.
When something horrible happens to somebody, you hear, well, you just got to deal with it. You just got to get over it. You just got to... What does that mean?
Well, like, to elaborate, like for me, what it means is forgiveness. Like, dealing to me is just kind of getting through it. You know, like, I just need to get up today. I don't want to get up, but I need to get up. That's, and then you get up and you make it through that moment. That's dealing to me. But really getting through it is forgiveness. It's forgiving yourself for being in that place. Because it sucks to be in that place. You get down on yourself for that, and you get more depressed, right? But it's forgiveness for being there, but you have to mourn whatever it is. It's forgiveness for those who've maybe done certain things to you, or forgiving those who have done something to you. Whether you tell them or they never know, in your mind, it's like erasing that hate or whatever, and just letting go of those things that you're holding on to, burdens or whatever. That's how I interpret that.
All right. Because so, I think it's confusing for people. Somebody who's gone through something traumatic, you hear somebody tell you, well, you need to deal with it. Well, there's no roadmap. There's no secret thing, you know, and you're trying to find this answer to get over this depression, to get past this painful experience. And maybe the thing that needs to be said is, at any time, like you right now, getting emotional, remembering a time in your past.
Right.
You dealt with it, you went through it, but it doesn't mean that you can't be taken back to that place from time to time. Right, you're still connected to it. You're always going to be connected to it.
Right.
But dealing with it may just be as simple as it doesn't wreck you when you
right.
lose it.
Not when anymore. Correct.
It doesn't wreck you anymore. When you can go through your day to day without it being that pivotal moment, if I think about this, it's going to wreck me.
I think it's important to remember that, because the tap back into that is to not forget. And it's to not forget so that you can remember it and turn it into a positive. You know, I had the emotion, when I talked about earlier with my kids being bullied, I had the emotional reaction of like, I know what that was like. They're not doing that to my kid. I'm bringing the hammer on somebody. That was my emotional, that was my reaction. They're not going to go through that. Period. What do I have to do? Then you step back. So I'm glad I was able to tap into that. Then I was able to step back and go, okay, so what's the rational, reasonable thing to do at this point? How do I help them process through it? How to handle it the best? Who do I talk to? How do I support them? How do I lift them up and hold them accountable what they can do to change things for themselves? Kind of like what Josh did. So I think it's okay to always have those things in your back pocket and tap into it, just as long as it's not always wrecking you or you're always falling back into those places where you're not allowing yourself to be forgiven.
Right.
For your mistakes, or letting those people who harmed you or you know, caused that pain to continue to, you know, harm you over and over and over.
Yeah, and so something I would like to kind of touch on a little bit is find your friends, Shane. If they're telling you to just deal with it, get over it, because I'll support you. I'll be your friend. I will support you in whatever issues you're having. I'm not going to say, just freaking deal with it. I'm going to say, dude, let's have some coffee. Just talk to
you. I appreciate that, John.
Dude, I'm being real, too. Like, I know it's silly and I know we're joking.
Well,
dude, I offered it up to Mr. Yacht earlier. Like,
no
freaking joke. That's a real thing. I'm not going to be like, dude, get over it, open more doors.
Well, it comes back to the idea, though, that the people are out there, whether it's 12-year-olds all over the world that are dealing with it, adults are dealing with it. I'm sure there are adults who are still haven't realized that they're at a place where they're miserable in their job because they're in their cubicle by themselves and nobody likes them and nobody gets along with them and talks to them because they've isolated themselves from whatever happened in the past. And so then all of a sudden you go, well, wait a second, you don't have to deal with this. Who are you? What do you want to do with your life? Why are you not out here with the society being part of it? Well, I've isolated myself for whatever reason. It can pull people up. You know, I mean, that's the idea behind it.
I think that you fall into two groups, right? It's the black or white thing.
Yeah, it is.
You're either a victim, you're going to isolate yourself, you're going to dwell on this, you're not going to get over it, or you're a victim or...
You built this up,
yeah,
champion.
No, you're either going to sit there and be a victim, or you're going to take control of your life.
Oh,
right. And that's what Josh did. Josh decided, I'm not going to be a victim anymore, and I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to put my face out there. And I used to be bullied, by some ladies. And I would hide. I'm not going to hide anymore. And I can't think of any other way truly to be more in the face of everybody, saying look at how polite, than to hold the door.
Awesome.
I just think it's an amazingly awesome thing to take control. You're either going to be a victim or you're going to take control of it.
And I'm sorry, it's only going to be so long that you're doing something kind for other people in the simplest way. It requires no effort on their part. Somebody's opening the door for you and you walk through it. You have a choice to make. You can ignore them, you can say something crappy to them, or you can say thanks. There's only so long you can go through a door or somebody doing something nice for you. That's why you're not going to notice it. And then start realizing within yourself, this guy is holding the door for me every day. And I'm not doing anything about it. I'm not saying hi. I'm not making eye contact. What is wrong with me? Why do I feel like I can't just say thank you?
There's always going to be that small percentage of
people. Oh, sure. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Just like what he said, there's still that small percentage, but the feedback that he got from...
It's massive. Well, and we didn't talk about it. Like, in my notes here, like, you know, and in the video, you see that, like, this massive change that he created, not just for him, but in his school and community, happened in 1 year, one freaking year. Like,
right.
That's massive. And secondly, he was prompting. But thirdly, what I was really trying to get to until I remember prompting was they presented him with a door, like an actual physical
right,
door,
right, yeah.
That the student signed, the staff signed, and gave to him as a gift for contributing so much to the community. Like, what? That is so huge.
Right.
And to your point, I can't imagine being that one kid who's like walking up to sign that door. You're like, I never said thank you. You know, like, that's a burden that they have to bear at that point.
Right?
Maybe that's at that moment.
You
know, yeah, exactly. And I think that's huge. I think, you know, going kind of back to what we were talking about earlier, the more that you give, man, the more that you get. I mean, just what goes around comes around.
Sounds
sure.
A lot like karma.
Karma.
Totally.
Joshua Coburn. Sir, what do you got going on?
Straight up. Well, you know what? Of course, more episodes of Well Raised Radio per usual. Also, working on some new fun videos that are kind of going to be a little different than what I usually put out, so that's exciting. Maybe get to see a little different side of this guy.
You going to have your shirt on?
It's yet to be seen. Is it not?
I'm already comfortable.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's yet to be seen.
Exactly. But yeah, and you can check out more things on the Relief Resource Center if you're struggling, having issues, whatever. Okay, what's up?
Just again, we are getting ever closer to that magical date in July. This July.
At some point in the near future, you will be.
Yes. We'll be recording. We'll be opening our doors to anybody and everybody who wants to give their hand, try their hand at voiceover acting. You want to read for a book? You want to have your voice in some audiobook for eons? That would be a little too great.
Oh, I like it. That's good.
No, it's good.
Forever captured on the internet. Reading your favorite book. Maybe it's some type of Klingon craziness. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Maybe you can read a biology textbook and make it interesting. We welcome you. So that's what we're going to be doing in July.
July.
Yeah, here at TPS Media is where you want to do that. Also, I am
feeling
Lagoon.
So I'm going to be here at TPS Media producing the Bandwagon Podcast, Jackie Live, Studio Gun Talk, Matt's Money Talk as well.
Sure.
We got about him last time. And the Primal Scream Podcast. And just, you know, trying to kill it with the
airwaves. Hold on, looking pretty over here on that side, a slightly pink shirt. That's what's happening. So, again, huge thanks to Mr. Josh Yaunt for coming on this show. Again, if you want to check out other episodes of Wild Raised Radio, do so on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, joshuacoburn.com, and anywhere else you check us out on the Googles, etc. On the Googles, there's more than one Google. That's at the internet, on set internets out there in the world. But always remember that here on Well Raised Radio, there's
this kindness.
Heck yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. Take care. Talk soon. Bye.
there you have it. That was Joshua Colburn interviewing Josh Yant. And I have to say that when it comes to bullying, we all have a role to play in stopping bullies. In fact, as I mentioned, I read a speech yesterday on at the Kitchener City Council, and this is what I said in regards to the Michael Hendricks. I just want to say congratulations on him getting an award yesterday at Kitchener City Council. Just want to extend my congratulations to Michael Hendricks. I hope if you're hearing this there, Michael Hendricks, I just want to say that congratulations, and it's awesome to see that good people still exist. And thank you for saving that 9-month-old baby. Carly Walters and Melissa Bill, really, really thank you from the bottom of your heart, from the bottom of their hearts. I just want to mention that as well. And I'm also going to just go ahead and read the speech that I mentioned. And I also just want to say that when it comes to bullies, please don't be a bystander and tell someone. Tell a teacher, a parent, or anyone that you trust. And if, let's say, someone that you tell doesn't take action, make sure to address it to their superiors. Make sure to address it to, because I just want to tell everyone, everyone's got a boss. Everyone has a right to file a complaint, to the point that bullying needs to be taken seriously, and therefore we need to ensure that everyone can live in a safe community. In fact, I'm just going to read this speech that I mentioned as well. So, and unfortunately, I was not able to play the High School Musical song and have everyone at City Council and in the chambers dance with me, because I had to give advance notice on that, because they have to preview all content that comes in to council. However, I do want to thank Councillor Kelly Galloway-Seelock for arranging Michael Hendricks to be awarded. I just want to say thank you to her for that. And I also just want to mention the speech that I wrote. And it says, "Good evening, everybody. I'm here today to congratulate Michael Hendricks for his heroic efforts in saving a 9-month-old baby. He did the right thing, and I appreciate the community and Kitchener City Council for honoring him today. I wanted to speak about kindness and how he can make the city of Kitchener a better place to live for all. Many times when situations arise, many people just ignore or become a bystander when situations arise. This is not appropriate and should not happen anywhere in the world. I encourage all citizens, our city councilors, mayor, public, private sector workers, and all citizens of the world to continue to promote random acts of kindness wherever this may benefit our citizens. We need to make every day Kindness Day and continue to do kind acts like Michael Hendricks did every single day." Melissa Bell, a friend of Carly Walters, said, "When I yelled for help and for someone to call 911, the other patrons simply sat and stared at me like I was crazy, and no one reached for their phones. We are so suspicious of everyone out there that is a stranger. I wish we could mend those bridges by simply saying hello to people you pass on the street. We're so wrapped in our own lives and stresses that someone accidentally bumping into you is a personal insult, and so often the reaction is anger. Let's reconnect to those around us by being polite and saying hi. The Waterloo Region Crime Prevention Council has been encouraging our citizens in the region of Waterloo to say hi to their neighbors and citizens in their school community. Or to say hi to their neighbors and citizens in their school community, sorry. I personally want to extend that in this meeting and say to everyone who is listening to this council meeting that don't be shy, say hi. You never know if that hi will turn into a friendship or even a relationship. Besides, community connections don't happen by being glued to your phone. Finally, I want to end this speech by quoting Ellen DeGeneres in the movie High School Musical. This year, Ellen launched the Ellen Card to encourage others to be kind to one another. In order to be kind to one another, we have to remember that we are all in this together. And one citizen cannot do this alone. Spreading kindness and doing the kind thing, as my friend Josh Yont would say, is something one person can do, but the impact is greater if we can all be kind to one another. Congratulations, Michael, for this award, and you're an amazing citizen to the city of Kitchener. Bravo, well done. I'm just going to go ahead and play a round of applause clapping. Here's the applause sound effect. There you have it. Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the song High School Musical. We are all in this together. 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. And you can guys go and dance wherever you like and wherever you please. Yeah. there you have it. That was High School Musical. We are all, we're all in this together. Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the city council meeting here.
I know we have a delegation that's going to speak after the presentation who originally brought this issue forward to council, but it's actually one of the good pieces of news that happen from time to time in our community, and it's always great to celebrate them. But can I ask Michael Hendricks to come forward? So tonight we want to acknowledge and recognize Michael for his heroic efforts in saving the life of a child. Michael was working at a local restaurant establishment when a guest at the restaurant had a young child, a nine-month-old child, who started choking on some food. And she was trying to help the child, but wasn't being successful. Michael very quickly jumped in with his first aid training and was able to assist and get the food dislodged, and the child to, obviously has continued on in many ways, and a very grateful parent because of that. And so tonight, Michael, on behalf of the council and citizens of the city of Kitchener, we want to recognize you for your quick reaction to a child in distress. Because of your actions, the child's mother and the community is appreciative and grateful for what you've done. Thank you for being so responsive and making our community an even better place for everyone. You sure?
Just let me know when you want me to go ahead and speak.
Yeah, I'd now like to invite Mr. Lima Nathu, who brought this issue to council's attention, forward to speak. Mr. Nathu?
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be here today. Thank you so much to City Council, City of Kitchener, great citizens of the Region of Waterloo, and all the great people that I know in this area. So thank you for letting me speak here today. So what I want to start off with is my actual speech. So good evening to everyone. I am here today to congratulate Michael Hendricks for his heroic efforts in saving a nine-month-old baby. He did the right thing, and I appreciate the community and Kitchener City Council for honoring him today. I wanted to speak about kindness and how we can make the city of Kitchener a better place to live for all. Many times when situations arise, many people just ignore or become a bystander. This is not appropriate and should not happen anywhere in the world. I encourage all citizens, our city councilors, the mayor, the public and private sector workers, and members of our community to continue to promote random acts of kindness wherever this may benefit our citizens, no matter where it is in the world. We need to make Everyday Kindness Day and continue to do kind acts like Michael Hendricks did every single day. Melissa Bell, a friend of Carly Walters, said, and this was when the nine-month-old baby was choking, so this is a family friend to Carly Walters, when I yelled for help and for someone to call 911, the other patrons simply sat and stared at me like I was crazy, and no one reached for their phones. We are so suspicious of everyone out there that is a stranger. I think we could mend those bridges by simply saying hello to people you pass on the street. We're so wrapped in our own lives and stresses that someone's accidentally bumping into you is a personal insult. So often the reaction is anger. Let's reconnect to those around us by being polite and saying hi. The Waterloo Region Crime Prevention Council has been encouraging our citizens in the region of Waterloo to say hi to their neighbors and citizens in their school community. I personally want to extend that in this meeting and say to everyone who is listening to this council meeting that don't be shy, say hi. You never know if that hi will turn into a friendship or even a relationship. Besides, community connections don't happen by being glued to your phone. Finally, I want to
end this speech by quoting Ellen DeGeneres in the movie High School Musical, which unfortunately I'm not going to be able to play the High School Musical song We Are All in This Together because it's supposed to be reviewed ahead of time, and I apologize for that. This year, Ellen launched the Ellen Card to encourage others to be kind to one another. In order to be kind to one another, we have to remember that we are all in this together. And one citizen cannot do this alone. Spreading kindness and doing the kind thing, as my friend Josh Yant would say, which he's the guy that held doors for people at Clark Road Secondary School, and I met him at Fanshawe College. He would say, it's something that one person can do, but the impact is greater if we can all be kind to one another. Congratulations, Michael, for the award, and you are an amazing citizen to the city of Kitchener. Your family and friends are proud of you, including myself. So once again, thank you, and let's stand up and give him a round of applause. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Aline, for coming in and for making us aware of this. And thank you to Michael and his family for joining us to recognize Michael this evening. Councillor Galavisiwa, you wanted to say closing remarks?
Just quickly, having met Michael very briefly before the meeting today and hearing all your responses to this event, you're such a humble person. Proud to have you in our community. I'm really thankful that you did the right thing and stepped up and helped that child. As a father of two young kids, they really touched me. So I really appreciate you taking the time to be here tonight. I really appreciate your efforts. And it's one of those news stories where it's a good news story that we need to focus on more often. So thank you very much for that effort.
Thank you very much.
There you have it. I did play this for everyone. Now, this was just the presentation that happened at council, and I wanted to share that with the public as well. Now, what I will do here is, what I want to tell people is, even though myself, I have an expired CPR training at this time, and I will have to update mine soon once I have enough funds to update my CPR. What I think should happen is CPR training should be offered and paid for by all businesses. I mean, I understand it is a cost, but if businesses budget for that cost, we can ensure that every citizen in the region of Waterloo is trained in CPR, level C especially. This is very crucial in order to ensure that we do the right thing. If somebody is choking, we go and we save that person's life like Michael Hendricks did. And I know in the province of Quebec, it is mandatory to give first aid. In fact, in the province of Quebec, anyone who is certified in first aid and sees a situation like that, they are required by law to administer that first aid, while in Ontario, they're not so much required by law. And I think if we continue to do the right thing and we continue to be good Samaritans wherever we may be, our world will be a better place. And as I said earlier in my show, we are all in this together. So, let's spread some kindness, and let's do some good things as well. Now, I also just want to mention about the Ellen Card, something that people will have questions about. So, the Ellen Card, you can download it by going to www.ellentv.com. I will even put the link once I upload the show today. And it is very important that we be kind to one another. Now, one can download the official Ellen Card. And this was done on May 3rd, 2016. So that's when the Ellen Card was launched. And I will say that if we can give Ellen cards to people to be kind to one another, we're doing our great community of the region of Waterloo and the city of Kitchener the best service possible for that. So right now, I do understand that we've had a great show today. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a song. And the song I'm going to play is... Try a Little Kindness by Glenn Campbell. So there you have it. That was Glenn Campbell, Try a Little Kindness. And that was at the 100.3 Sound FM CKMS Radio Waterloo. And the next song I'm going to be playing today, I'm going to be playing some Cirque du Soleil. Worlds Away. That's 100.3 Sound FM CKMS Radio Waterloo. So there you have it. That was the Cirque du Soleil, Worlds Away. That was the entire play on that. That was part of it as well. And I'm going to go and I'm going to play some other songs from Cirque du Soleil because they have such a lovely music here. Sorry about that, Cirque du Soleil music. I'm gonna play some other Totem soundtrack on this. So we're gonna go and play Omi Kayo, and I'm gonna play the rest of this music until the end of the show. Thank you.
Oh.
There you have it. So that's 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. So the four songs I played is Circus du Soleil Totem by Ome Kayo, Circus du Soleil Totem, Come Sancho Espiritu, Circus du Soleil Totem, Indie Hip, and Circus du Soleil Totem, Como Maya. Now, I do want to tell people that for the next month, my shows will all be pre-recorded, just to let people know. So I will not be doing any interviews for the next month, and possibly my show may be moving to a weekend, as I've just gotten a new job at a community college. So I've just gotten a new job myself. So I just want to let people know that based on everything that's been going on, I just want to give people a heads up that I will not be doing any sort of interviews next month at all. Now, if anybody does have any requests or anything that they do want to say, you can always email me at Radio Alim, that's RadioAlim at Outlook.com. Again, that's Radio Alim at Outlook.com if you have any questions, concerns, feedback, anything that you want to say on my show. But just to let everyone know, my shows will be pre-recorded all next month. So I will not be in studio and I will not be taking any live calls or anything like that. I just want to let everyone know that I hope everyone has a great day and a great, great week and a great weekend. And peace out, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to my radio show. Once again, this is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. This is Aline signing off. Peace out.
So we'll start. You brought some great music. Let's start out. We'll play a few songs.